All right. Hi, everybody. So good to be with you again today. I'm just loving this week and really looking forward to what God has to say to us today. I've been loving this week, and I've especially loved thinking about our union with Christ. And it's helped me remember that all of our spiritual blessings that we have come through a person, through Jesus. It's not just that at the cross we do a transactional exchange with God where he gives us these blessings and we go on our way. No, we get Jesus himself. We get united to him. Our salvation comes through our union with Christ. And it is, by definition, it's relational, it's personal, it's intimate. And we talked earlier this week about how marriage is only a shadow, a picture of this wonderful relationship we have with Jesus in our union with him. And relationship with Jesus, it isn't just one of the blessings of being Christian. It's through this relationship that all of our spiritual blessings flow. Now, there's so much more we could say about our relationship with Jesus. We could have had a whole nother talk just on that. But today we're going to think about how our union with Christ brings us into relationship with God the Father, and how our union with Christ means, therefore, that we are beloved daughters of God. So we've talked about many spiritual blessings this week, being fully forgiven, having our debt paid, or having a new identity and having the power to fight sin and live differently. And yet, I think our relationship with God is arguably the best spiritual blessing of them all. The best thing about being forgiven is that nothing separates us from God anymore. We can be in relationship with him. The best thing about being sanctified and being able to fight sin is that this is part of our new identity as a child of God, that it means we're part of God's forever family. The best thing about being Christian today is the joy that we can have in relationship with God, that no one and nothing can take away from us. And the best thing about heaven is that we'll be with God himself forever, that we'll enjoy our relationship with him in all its fullness. So if you can't already tell, I'm pretty thrilled that we have the chance today to think more together about our relationship with God our Father, and to see just how wonderful it is. It's my prayer today that God will really help us all see a little bit more just how amazing this relationship with him is. So let's jump in. And if you're following along on the handout, our first point is union with Christ brings us into relationship with God. So to begin, I thought it would be helpful to do a quick review of how union with Christ brings us into relationship with God. So our relationship with God the Father is through the Son, mediated by the Spirit. Anya walked us through this on the first day, but just to kind of do a little recap. So let's look at the different roles of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to help us understand what we mean by relationship with the triune God. So I said already that our union with Christ is a way of describing our relationship with Jesus. We don't just jump on his back for the ride, but at its core, our union with Christ is relational. Relationship with him. So union with Christ means we have relationship with Jesus. And Anya helped us see earlier this week that this union with Christ is mediated by the Holy Spirit. So let me read to us again from John 14, verses 16 to 20 that we looked at earlier this week. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." So Jesus sends the Holy Spirit to dwell in the believer, and that he himself will come to us. And this means, as we see in verse 20, that he, Jesus, is in us. And then building on that, because we are in Jesus and he is in the Father, through Jesus, we're also united to the Father. So when we talk about having relationship with God, it's actually with every member of the Trinity. We have relationship with God the Father through Jesus, mediated by the Spirit. That's pretty mind-blowing. And Caitlin is going to show us a visual from earlier this week that captured that. So I don't know if you remember this one, but we drew our own pictures of this and all ended up with a sort of Russian doll-looking illustration. But this really, thanks Caitlin, this really helps to show just how intimate our relationship with God is. Being in God and God in us. We really can't get any closer than that. So what does it mean for us to be in a relationship with God like this? It means we become his children. He adopts us. In the words of John 1, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." This is a total identity change for us. We become part of God's forever family. Through Jesus, his son, we become his daughters. The diagram on your handout shows this, and Caitlin is going to share it on the screen now. And we're not just his daughters that he felt obligated to adopt or just tolerates. No, he really loves us. This brings us to our next point. Union with Christ secures our identity as a beloved daughter of God. So, you know, we sing about it, how deep the Father's love for us. But how deep do we really think God's love is for us? So let's look now at John 17, 20-26 together. Thanks, Joe, so much for reading it earlier. But flip back to that page if you don't have it already in front of you. So in this passage, this is the end of Jesus' prayer to the Father just before he goes to the cross. In John 17, it's a very intimate scene where we listen in as Jesus prays his final words to the Father. And who does he pray for? He prays for us, me and you. He says in verse 20 that he's not praying for these only, which is his disciples then, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's us. We believe in Jesus through the apostles' word in the Bible. Let's see what it says about how the Father loves us then. In verse 23, Jesus prays that the world will know that the Father sent Jesus and that he loves us even as he loves Jesus. He loves us with the same love he has for Jesus. Wow, okay. But how does the Father love Jesus? So we see in verse 24 that the Father loved Jesus before the foundation of the world. Wow, okay. That's a pretty long time love. And Jesus finishes his prayer in verse 26 by asking that the love with which the Father has loved Jesus may be in us and that Jesus may be in us. Have you ever thought about this, that God the Father loves you with the same love he has for Jesus, his son? And the love the Father has for Jesus, his son, is so big. He's well pleased with Jesus. He created all things through Jesus and for Jesus. He glorifies Jesus in his death and resurrection. He has seated Jesus to reign over all. Would we ever doubt God the Father's love for Jesus? So wow, God the Father loves us with the same love he has for Jesus, his son. So this means that God's love for us is unconditional. it's not based on how good we are, or what we do, or how we feel. It's based on our union with Christ. His love for us doesn't vary based on the day or how we're feeling. We have 100% of the love he has for Jesus every moment of every day. This also means that God's love for us is personal. It's not that God is blindfolded and thinks we're Jesus and doesn't really know who he's loving. It's not that he's just putting up with us. He wants his love to be in us. He treats us just as he treats Jesus. We become part of the family. We're his daughters. This also means that God's love for us is planned. He loved Jesus before the foundation of the world. This is an all-time kind of love. This is a planned love. It's always been part of his plan to come love us this way. To send Jesus to give us the right to become children of God, as John 1 tells us. In his big plans for all time, he has chosen to love us individually. And God's love for us is the greatest love. Jesus prays in verse 21 that believers may be in us, in the relationship between the Father and the Son. So through Jesus, we get included into the relationship of the Trinity. We get to share in and personally experience their glorious love for one another. To say that we are loved by God with the same love he has for Jesus means that as Christians, we get caught up into the most loving relationship of all time, the relationship between the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And lastly, this means God's love for us is forever. Jesus says earlier in his prayer in John 17:3, "And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Being a part of the loving relationship of the Trinity is forever. And not only will it last eternally, but this relationship is eternal life. This is what eternity is all about. And in this sense, eternal life has already started for us. Eternal life, what we're saved for, is relationship with God. And you may have noticed also in this passage that being part of being loved by God is being brought into his family together with one another as sisters in Christ. And also that being included in the family means being included in the family mission to share the apostles' words with others so that others too can join God's family. And we don't have the time to explore all these other wonderful implications of being loved by God, part of his family, but just wanted to note those in the passage and feel free to pick up on those ideas in the question time tomorrow. Wow, we have just been talking about some unbelievable wonders. The God of all, loving me and you like this. It's just incredible. Do you remember Joyless Josie from earlier in the week? I think she's really relatable. I'm sure many of us have had times where God feels distant, when it's harder to have joy in our faith. Maybe we've asked, does God really love me? Or we've wondered, what does relationship with God really mean? And how do I enjoy him? And this brings us to our final point. Union with Christ gives us communion with God to enjoy. So in order to respond to these questions from Joyless Josie, let's first think about the difference between our identity as Christians and our experience as Christians. So in doctrine terms, that our union with Christ is the basis for our communion with God. So our identity as Christians, united with Christ, in relationship with God, unbelievably loved by God as his beloved daughter forever. That is unchanging. This is 100% true of us, no matter how we feel or what kind of day we've had. Because we are united with Christ, or as Colossians 2:9 says, filled with him, we couldn't be any closer to him. And since God loves us with the same love he has for Jesus, his love for us is always the same, and the max love there is. Our union with Christ is completely God's initiative, God's doing. We just receive it. And yet, our experience of God, our communion with God, can vary. Sometimes we feel closer to him than other times, even though technically we are the same amount of close to him every day. Our communion with God is a two-way relationship that we experience here and now. We cannot be any closer to God since we're already united to him, but we can get to know him better, trust him more, enjoy him more. Tim Chester explains this in his book, Enjoying God, with a great illustration of a dad with two sons. So I'll change it to a dad with two daughters, just for our sake. So imagine that one daughter makes breakfast for her dad each day, and they chat together as they eat breakfast in the morning. And then later in the day, she and her dad play sport together, and they laugh and really enjoy each other. Whereas the other daughter is a bit embarrassed by their father, and she doesn't really want to spend time with him. She stays in her room all day with the music turned up loud and really just ignores him. So how many daughters does the father have? Well, two. And what did they do to become daughters? Well, nothing. He loves them because they're his daughters, not because of their behavior. But only one of the daughters experiences a good relationship with the father and enjoys being a daughter. Thinking back to Joyless Josie, when we feel distant from God, when she feels distant from God, she doesn't need to doubt whether or not God loves her. She can remember her union with Christ and how secure and unchanging God's love for her is. And we too can be 100% sure of our identity as a child of God. We can have total assurance because of our union with Christ. And yet, like we saw in the daughter's illustration, we can choose how we want to engage in our relationship with God. We have been brought into intimate, eternal, loving relationship with the God of all. There's so much on offer to enjoy now and eternally. So I wonder then, why don't we enjoy our relationship with God? What would we say to Joyless Josie about that? Well, maybe we just didn't realize how much God loves us, how close to him we really are. And if that's you, you might be saying, he loves me like that? The same love he has for Jesus? Wow, I want to know him more, talk to him more, live my life for him. But maybe it's also because we forget. We forget who he is, how he feels about us, who we are as his beloved daughters. And along the way, we start searching for identity and love in the world instead of from God. And this is where setting our minds on things above, like we talked about yesterday, really helps us. And Fiona's going to help lead us tomorrow in thinking together about how we can really remember who we are in relationship with and who we are in him, that we might enjoy it. So, what does it really mean for us to enjoy relationship with God today? And maybe perhaps especially now under lockdown in the middle of this coronavirus pandemic. So I think the first step in enjoying our communion with God is letting ourselves feel, really feel, how great it is to be in relationship with Him, to be His beloved daughter, to embrace this as our identity. And I have loved preaching this to myself today, as well as you guys. I definitely do not have this all figured out, but I've thought a little bit about what it means to me to be a beloved daughter of God, especially now. So I just thought I'll share some reflections on what I've been thinking, and hopefully that can help you all think through this a bit more. So for me, I've been so comforted to know that my relationship with God is secure in a time when nothing else is certain. It's not dependent on me or on anything else in my life. It's all secured because of my union with Christ. Another thing, I love having God with me. As Jonathan and I think about the future and how we might be planning an international move during a pandemic, I'm just so thankful to know that God will be with me whatever comes. What a privilege to be able to speak to Him and receive His help and peace in these crazy times. And I feel safe as God's beloved daughter. I cannot imagine a safer place to be than to be cared for by God Himself. So comforting to know my place in His forever family. It's secure. And that one day He will bring me safely home to my eternal home with Him. I feel like I'm standing on solid ground because of my identity as a beloved child of God. It's secure. I'm often tempted to judge my worth based on what other people think of me. But it helps me massively to know what the God of all thinks of me, that He loves me with an unchanging love. Nothing I do or don't do today is going to change that. What a relief that I have nothing to prove today. And no matter what happens in my future plans, if I'm successful in the world's eyes or not, nothing could ever be better than being loved by God Himself. And so I think as we comprehend this relationship more and more, we can begin to engage with Him more and more too. We can live out our relationship with Him in the day-to-day. Tim Chester's book, Enjoying God, like I mentioned earlier, has some great practical tips along these lines. But just a few thoughts on that. We can engage in our relationship with God, even in mundane daily life. Like in any relationship, I think engaging with God mostly means speaking to Him, acknowledging that He's there, that He plays a very active role in our day-to-day life. So, for example, we can recognize all we have is from Him and thank Him for His provision. Any good thing we experience or receive is from our Heavenly Father. When we feel the sun streaming through our window, receive our grocery delivery from Sainsbury's, or get an encouraging text from a friend, we can say, "Thank you, God." We can receive these things as kind gifts from our Heavenly Father who loves us. It's wonderful wisdom to cultivate gratitude, but this isn't just to have a positive attitude or happy feelings. Let's say thank you to the one who gives us all things. Yes, let's cultivate gratitude, but gratitude to God, our Father. And it's not only good things that we receive from God, our Father. Everything in this life is from Him, even hard things. But in every hardship we face, even annoying things like Wi-Fi troubles when Zoom crashes or Sainsbury's being out of flour, we can trust that this is from our Father for our good. Like any father and child, sometimes the father gives things to the child that the child doesn't like. Maybe like eating veggies, but it's actually for the child's good. So perhaps knowing that all things come from our Father can help us accept what comes each day and turn towards God in our pain and frustration. And in this process, receive from God the good He wants to give us. Perhaps it's spiritual growth or renewed perspective or greater enjoyment of the spiritual blessings we have in Him. Prayer is something that's so easy to take for granted, isn't it? But really, how amazing it is that we can actually speak to the God of all. And not just speak to Him, but call Him Dad. That He wants to speak to us. That He wants us to speak to Him. Not just to hear us list off our prayer requests, but to know us. To know what's on our minds. To know what's burdening our hearts. To relate. How completely unbelievable that the God of all has made me, has made you, His beloved daughter. That we have such a relationship to enjoy now and forever, completely secure through our union with Christ. I'm gonna hand back to Amy now.